As I mentioned this morning, we're going to look at a song of thanksgiving and what it teaches. This is a beautiful chapter. When we get to 1 Chronicles, the 12 preceding books of the Old Testament end with the Jews in captivity. 1 and 2 Chronicles retells the same story, ending at the same point. I want to read a couple of verses. We'll put this in context and then go back and we'll look at this whole chapter. So 1 Chronicles 16, verse 7. On that day, David first delivered this psalm into the hand of Asaph and his brethren to thank the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk of all of his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders, and the judgments of his mouth. So, to back up for a minute and put this in context, so we've got 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. And so much of this overlaps. So why do we have these three different accounts? Well, when we look at the Old Testament, and we see on this timeline the creation to Abraham, Abraham to the sojourn in Egypt, Moses and the Exodus, the conquest and the judges, United Kingdom, the divided kingdom, the exile, restoration of Jerusalem, and then the intertestamental period, and then the life of Christ in the church. So we go back and we look at 1 and 2 Samuel. So they were written right around in here, 1100 to 931 BC. They deal with emphasis on the prophets, on history, political history, wars, battles, blood. The emphasis is on the nation. When we get to 1 and 2 Kings, they're going to be on up here 561 to 539 BC. Again, repeating a lot of the history, but talking about the emphasis on the nation, on political things. Now, when we get to 1 and 2 Chronicles, down here, 450 BC to 400 BC, so we have a lot of that information repeated. And why? Because we've got a different group of people now. These, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, were written about the Jews before they went into captivity. God made these promises. He said, I'm going to bless Abraham and all of these things. You have the law. He told them what to do, what not to do. They didn't obey him, and they were carried off into captivity. Now, with the writing of Chronicles, it's going to repeat that, but it's written to post-exile Jews. The emphasis is not on the national history, but religious history. Talking about the temple, talking about worship, and it looks at that same time period showing the faithfulness of God. That even though God had them taken off into captivity, God was faithful when he said, I will bring you out. I'm going to establish a new covenant. I'm not going to write it on tablets of stone. I'm going to write it in your heart. And all people will know me. So let's start back at verse 1 and read through chapter 16. And then we're going to make some points to see what this psalm teaches us. So 16 verse 1. So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Then they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. And when David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. Then he distributed to everyone of Israel, both man and woman, to everyone, a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and cake of raisins. And he appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord, to commemorate, to thank,
and to praise the Lord God of Israel. Asaph the chief, next to him Zechariah, then Jael, Shemamoth, Jael, Mattathiah, Eliab, Benaniah, Obed-Edom, Jael with stringed instruments and harps, but Asaph made music with cymbals. Benaiah and Jehaziel, the priest, regularly blew trumpets before the Ark of the Covenant. A couple side points to make as we go through this. It's interesting when people want to go back to the Old Testament for authority on instrumental music, they don't pick out these instruments. And also they don't realize, they don't pay attention that this was a specific law for a specific group, a covenant. And then it was for a specific tribe in that nation. On verse 7, on that day, David first delivered this psalm into the hand of Asaph. Something else with this, some say that this word psalm is not in the original, but it has the same meaning. This is a poem set to music. So 1 Chronicles 16 is a poem, a beautiful poem, that's set to music. He set it in the hand of Asaph and his brethren to thank the Lord. Verse 8, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk of all of his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face evermore. Always seek his face. Continually seek his face. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Israel, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember his covenant forever, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham, and his oath to Isaac, and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel for an everlasting covenant. So we see here he's addressing verse 13, this, excuse me, the seed of Israel. You see, Abraham, he made this covenant with Abraham, the oath with Isaac, confirmed it to Jacob, but they didn't see this fulfillment. So he's talking to their descendants. We know the law came 430 years after the promise to Abraham. And Stephen speaks of that also as he recounts the history lesson in Acts chapter 7. So verse 18, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance. When you were few in number, indeed very few, strangers in it. When they went from one nation to another and from one kingdom to another people. He permitted no man to do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sake, saying, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. And we see God acting with the people and protecting them. Verse 23, sing to the Lord all the earth. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all the peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods. Again, they lived in a time of idol worship. All the heathen nations had their gods. And he's making a contrast here between the false god and the true God, the God of gods. Verse 26, for all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord, he made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. You know, when I think of that verse, the world is firmly established, it shall not be moved. The world glorifies God just by its creation, but inanimate. It doesn't have feelings. It cannot be moved with emotion. That's one possibility. Another possibility, the world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. Man can't do anything to change this world. God is in control. He created us. He told us to subdue it, use it for our purposes. And whatever man does is not going to change God's plans. Verse 31, let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar in all its fullness, let the field rejoice in all that is in it. Then the trees of the wood shall rejoice before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his mercy endures forever. And say, save us, O God of our salvation. Gather us together and deliver us from the Gentiles, to give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And all the people said, amen, and praise the Lord. This is a beautiful psalm of praise. And again, to put it in perspective, this was written at a time to the Jews that had returned out of captivity. And the focus is on the worship. And when you look at First Chronicles, I think it's like if you just skim back to the beginning and you look at like the first 9 chapters, it deals with genealogies. This family and that family and so-and-so begot so-and-so and so-and-so begot so-and-so and right on down the line for 9 chapters. Why do they have all of these genealogies? Because when they are returning from captivity, going back to Jerusalem to inhabit the land, they need to know which tribe, what the lineage is for their boundaries of their land, for the land that they had a right to own, and then also to keep the lineage pure and clear and definite, because Christ, the Messiah, was going to come through the seed of David. So there are all of these records to reestablish who they are, what land they have, and that the Messiah is going to come through the seed of David. And then we have this beautiful song of praise. Praise and thanksgiving comes after the ark of God has found its rightful place in the midst of the tent that David pitched for it. After the sacrifices had been offered unto God, the people blessed in the name of the Lord in the first 3 verses. They brought the ark of God, set it in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected, offered the burnt offerings. David had finished offering the burnt offerings, the peace offerings. He blessed the people in the name of the Lord. Then he distributed a loaf of bread and a piece of meat and a cake of raisins. What was the purpose of the tabernacle? It was where worship was offered. And these people, the Israelites, were worshiping God. There are so many things that this psalm teaches us. When we look at this, we see one of the things that this psalm, this song teaches us, is what we should seek. So notice in chapter 16, verse 11. What do we seek? Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face evermore. We shouldn't be consumed with seeking the things of the world. We need to seek the Lord. And in this simple sentence, there are 3 things to consider. Seek the Lord, seek Him for salvation. He that findeth me, he says, findeth life. This is eternal life, to know Him. The second thing in seeking the Lord is seek His strength for service. They that wait on the Lord shall have strength. We need to seek His face continually for fellowship. To have the light of His face look on us, the light of his presence. And again, we think of hell. And what is hell? It's outer darkness. It's as far away as you can get from the presence of God. God is light, so we should seek the Lord, seek him for salvation, seek him for strength, for service, seek his face continually for fellowship. Well, this song also teaches us what we should sing. In verse 9, we should sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of his wondrous works. As we've been going through the book of Philippians, what does Paul say over and over? We are to rejoice. We are to be full of gladness. It's so full we can't contain it. Talk of his wondrous works. Chapter 16, 23, sing to the Lord all the earth. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. If all the earth should sing to the Lord, like Psalm 19 talks about, the heavens declare the handiwork of God. If all the earth should sing to the Lord, how much more should we who have been redeemed by the blood of God, the blood of Christ, should sing to the Lord? And when we sing to the Lord, we aren't going to sing to the Lord unless we have that in our heart. Again, it's not going to come out of us unless we have it in us. And there's so much to thank him for and to praise him for. And it's like you think about when you had the tabernacle and the altar and all the sacrifices, and the priest would go there and they would take that holy fire and offer up sacrifices. You think of that and you think of us offering up the sacrifice of the praise of our lips with prayers and singing. And our lips should be like that holy fire that the priests used in the Old Testament. It shouldn't be profane fire. It should be holy. We should sing. They had many psalms to sing to the Lord. They had a psalm of deliverance, a psalm of forgiveness, a song of peace, another one of hope, another one of joy. And one of the sweetest ones of all would be a psalm of his presence. And we should not be asked to sing unto the Lord if the Lord did not hear us. Just stop and think about that. If God wouldn't tell us to sing to him, if he wasn't listening to our songs. And it's just like when we pray. We pray wanting God to listen to our prayers. And when we sing, we should want God to listen to the songs, to the words that we are singing. We shouldn't just be reading words off a page. It should be from our heart. It should be from our heart. And when you think about the Jews having a psalm of deliverance, a psalm of forgiveness, a psalm of peace, a psalm of hope, how much more do we have those? Well, something else to get from this chapter, we learn what we should give. Chapter 16, verse 8, "Oh, give thanks to the name of the Lord. Call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people." In verse 28, "Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength." Verse 29, "Give to the Lord glory due his name. Bring an offering, come before him, O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Are we starting to understand what worship is? David was trying to get across again to God's chosen people how great and mighty God is and how we owe him all our worship. And what do people look at for worship today? Oh, I went somewhere and I felt really good. It was real beautiful. That's not worship. That's not worship. We humble our hearts. We come before God knowing that we are nothing, that he is everything. And we have things to give to him. And one of the best things, one of the best things that we can give to the Lord is to live a life that trusts in Him every day, to live by faith. We give Him glory and strength when we act as those who believe in His glory and depend on His strength. We think about all those characters of the Old Testament. I think of Moses, and he longed to see God face to face. He loved God so much. He was a friend of God. He wanted to see Him. He wanted to give Him glory. You think about David and all the Psalms that he wrote, where he poured out his heart in praise and worship to God. And David, when you think about him and his life, and when he was pursued and chased by his enemies and would have to hide out because people wanted to put him to death, and you think even going back to when he was a young boy, where did he get his strength? His strength came from God. His strength came from God. When he killed a bear, he killed a lion. Goliath was nothing. You know, you come before me with a sword. I come before you with God. And I'm going to take your sword and cut your head off and give it to the animals, and they're going to eat you up. Where did he get that strength? From God. From God. Do we get that strength today? Or do we just go through life, ho-hum, and I'm worried about this and I'm worried about that? We need to have that faith. We need to have that strength and share it with others. Well, not only does this song teach us what we should seek, what we should sing, what we should give, it teaches us what we should remember. In verse 12, remember His marvelous works which He has done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. The Israelites were never to forget the pit out of which they had been lifted. God told them, prophesied to them, that they were going to be in bondage. And again, this came about with no miracle involved in it. When Joseph's brothers sold him to the Ishmaelites, and they took him down to Egypt, and the things that transpired in Egypt, and then during the famine, Joseph's brothers and his family came from where they were down to Egypt. They were in bondage, and God, through Moses, delivered them. He delivered them out of bondage. Remember His marvelous works, His wonders. They were brought out of bondage. Do we remember that we were brought out of bondage? Or do we take that for granted? We should remember the judgments of His mouth. The works and words of God our Savior are bound together. You cannot separate them. What He says and what He does. The words of Christ are spirit and life. And so are His works. When the Jews returned to Jerusalem and the temple was being rebuilt, what did they do? They cried. They wept. Because some of those older Jews remembered the glory of the temple that Solomon had built. They wept. They cried when they remembered what it was. But friends, today we can rejoice. We can rejoice and remember Christ. We need to remember His faithfulness. Verse 6:15. Remember His covenant forever. The word which He commanded for a thousand generations. And again, this was sung after they were taken into captivity and after they were brought out. And you just see the providence of God. You see His hands all over this. And you see how some of the men you go through something bad, but they knew, even though they were going into captivity, that God promised he was going to deliver them out. And they knew if God promised it, it was a sure thing. They were brought out and returned to Jerusalem. His covenant, remember his covenant forever. The word which he commanded you to 1,000 generations, his word is not going to change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then what do we have people today? Well, his, you know, you can't count on his word. It was okay at that time, but things changed. They tried to discredit his word. They tried to discredit the verbal inspiration of the scriptures. Again, they want to go to any other source except the word. Remember his covenant forever. We should remember that. This song teaches us what we should speak. It's well to remember God's works for us and his words to us, but with the mouth, confession is made. We need to be talking about everything that God has done for us. Chapter 16, verse 9, sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of all of his wondrous works. We're to speak to one another of all of his wondrous works. They that feared the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord listened. He listened to them. And you think about how happy that God would be to hear his children speaking to one another about all the good things that God has done for us. That would make the Father feel good. Think of how it would grieve the Father if when he listens to his children, we never talked about these things. We never talked to these things about each other. We never talked about these things to a lost world. Again, just like God is listening when we pray, he's listening when we sing, he's listening when we speak. We should let our conversation include Christ and the gospel. It's the greatest blessing that we have. It's the hope of all mankind. Chapter 16, verse 24, declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all the peoples. This would involve speaking his glory among the heathen, all the nations. And even though this law was given to the Jews, we see here down in time, it's going to be to everyone. And when we think of that, when we think of Christ saying, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, we are not to exclude anybody. We are to share God's word with everybody. Christ made that possible. We have that fellowship with God, with Christ. And that should build up some enthusiasm and energy in us to want to share it with others. However we can, every time we can. And you think about this psalm, and it's such a beautiful psalm of thanksgiving. Something I don't see how somebody can read this and not have their spirits lifted just thinking what God has done for us. And then again, we shouldn't just read it and think about it and then set the Bible down. We should share it with others. It should radiate in our life. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He's also to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give to the Lord, O families of the people. Give to the Lord glory and strength. And again, why? Why did they need to hear this? They needed to be reminded of it. They needed to be reminded of it, and we need to be reminded of it. Just like Peter talks about stirring up our minds, we need to be reminded. Just like this generation of Jews that had come out of captivity about the glory of worship to God. And we need to be reminded because we can become desensitized by things of the world. We can become distracted by things of the world and forget that we need to give honor and glory to God. We need to give it to Him. We need to live it in our life. We need to share it with others. Friends, if there's anyone here this evening that your life is out of step with God and what He would want you to do, He's made things possible for correction through His blood. He shed His blood to abolish that old covenant. We aren't living under it anymore. He shed His blood to purchase the church. You can be a member of the church by being baptized, being born again, being added to the church. He shed His blood for the remission of our sins. Friends, Christ is the answer. If there's anyone here this evening that needs to respond to the invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.